Paul is writing a letter to the church at Colossae. He writes this letter. History tells us that he writes this letter between the time frame of 60 and 63 AD. The church at Colossae, of course, was located in what they call the Upper Lycus Valley. It was known for its textile. It was known for the dyes and things that it had. There were two other cities that were close to Colossae that were a lot larger. You have heard of them. One was the Laodicea, and the other one was Hierapolis. Those two cities were a lot larger than Colossae. But the church at Colossae stood out because of the love that that church had for God and the faith that it had in Jesus Christ. This church truly understood the fact that Jesus was its only hope. Amen. That church understood that. And if we could get the church of today to understand that God, that Jesus Christ is in fact our only hope, I believe that the church, praise God, would be much, much more flourishing. Amen. Because I find today that we have people who put their trust into a whole lot of other things other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say, how do you know that? I know that because all you got to do is look around. Just look around. We got people who used to be in the mainline church today. Some of them are falling off and they're going follow behind. They're going home to follow behind Muhammadism. They're saying that Muhammad has a better way. Praise God. There are some who are following Buddha. They're saying that Buddha has a better way. Some of them are following secular humanists. They're saying the secular humanist is a better way. But what I'm trying to tell us today, praise God, that Jesus is, in fact, our only hope. How can I say that Jesus is our only hope? Because if it had not been for what Jesus did for us, praise God, we would not be here today. Amen. I like to challenge some of those folks who talk about Muhammad and those that talk about Buddha and those who put their trust in secular humanists. In other words, you know what the secular humanists say. They say that you are your own. They don't even believe in any God. They say that you are your own God. In other words, they take the small g that the Bible talks about those folks who hold up gods, and they try to capitalize that. I'm glad that I'm not my own God. Golly, aren't you glad? I tell people all the time, I need a God that's gonna dust me off. I don't need a God that I got to dust off. The last time I've seen those Buddhas, man, those things collect dust, and I got to dust it off when I was a young kid. I'm sort of telling you something about why, the background that I came up in. My grandmother, although she was a Christian, but she used to have all of those things around the house. And of course, us kids had to get out there and clean them off. I had to dust that Buddha off, that statue off. I don't need a God that I need to dust off. I need a God that's going to dust me off when I step out of line. Praise God. So this Jesus that we serve, he is in fact our only hope. He is the person that we are to put all of our trust in. Amen. How can I say it? Because when I look at that word hope, you all have heard me say that. What is hope? Hope is nothing but faith projected in the future. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Hope is only your faith projected in the future. How can I say that? Because there are some folks in here standing today that are hoping for a whole lot of things. There's some people hoping for a brand new job. Amen. How many here are hoping for another job? Amen. Come on. They don't want to admit it. Amen. There's some people that's hoping for a whole lot of money. Is there anybody here that's hoping they had a whole lot of money? I see a few hands there. Amen. Praise God. A whole lot of people, they're hoping for a whole lot of money. There's a lot of people that hope for money. Praise God. And then when they get it, they don't know what to do with it. Oh, Lord, I don't want to open that Pandora's box. There's some people that hope for a larger house. God has blessed them with a house. And they say, man, I wish I had one just a little bit bigger. You know what I always tell people, when you get a house a little bit bigger, it just gives you an opportunity to bring a little bit more junk in there. Praise God. And then you can have a few more garage sales and get rid of some of the junk that you have. I tell people that all the time. Come over to a 180 Foxfire Lane because I'm about ready to have a big junk yard sale. I'm serious about it because we buy a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily need. But we hope for that kind of stuff. Some people hope for a mate. They hope to have a relationship, praise God, that's going to be good in their life. So I believe that we have, that hope is nothing but your faith projected towards the future. But you know what? The best hope that we can have is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, praise God. And he said that what? And all other things will be added unto you. Praise God. So if you want to have something to hope for, let's hope for Christ. Amen. And he said, if you seek him first, he'll add all this other stuff to you. If you want a big house, he'll give it to you. If you want to have a mate, he'll give you one. Praise God. If you want to have another job, he'll give you another job. Praise God. I'm talking about one that will, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, he'll give that to you. Praise God. You know, Jesus is our only hope. And that claim that Jesus is our only hope, that's a bold claim because it eliminates all other claims of hope. Amen. It eliminates them. You see, I don't care what somebody put on. They can put on a bow tie, dress up in a black suit, come around selling peanuts. I don't care what they do. Praise God. They are not going to move me from the fact that the God that I serve, who has already done so many marvelous things in my life, that I'm going to move away from that. Praise God. Not only that hope is a bold claim, it's also a tireless claim. You know why? Because it has been around for many, 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 many years. Amen. And so when we start talking about him being our only hope, let me just give you three things and we're gonna get out of here. First of all, Jesus is our only hope for salvation. Turn to your neighbor, say that, neighbor, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. Paul, put Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 on that marquee. Look at what the writer here says. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. So Jesus Christ, he is in fact our hope. He is our only hope for salvation. Amen. He is the only hope for salvation. You see, Jesus is the only hope for salvation. He's the only hope because he's the only hope for salvation that is desperately needed. Amen. In the world today, it's needed. It's needed. I teach in the public school system. And let me tell you something. Praise God. If there was never a time in the world for salvation, oh Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, we are in a time right now. We need to introduce a lot of young people to this man that we call Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up, and I may be dating myself, but I grew up in a time when people respected their elders, when they respected people of God, when they respected adults. Man, we live in a world. How many school teachers we have out there? I know my brother Boo, and I said, man, kids today will say anything in front of anybody. They don't care, and it doesn't faze them. So there is we're talking about he's the only hope of salvation because it is desperately needed today. All you have to do is look around the world. We just had another shooting in another church. Come on. I'm talking about things that were never thought of. The only answer to that is going to be Jesus Christ, because he's in fact he's our only hope. Praise God. Not only that, there's a lot of people who think that they can hope in themselves. They throw themselves out there as one. I got to put this one up there. Put Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. I want you to read this, Scott. I want you to think that this is in my Bible. Look what Jeremiah says about the heart of man. See, that's why I can't look at myself and say I'm so good. Because what the Bible says, it says the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? I'm talking about the same heart that could stand up here and preach right now could be the same heart that can go out and commit murder. It's desperately wicked. And the only thing that's going to do the heart of a desperately wicked person any good is a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He is, in fact, our only hope. Not only he is our only hope for salvation that's desperately needed, but he is the only hope for salvation that is divinely provided. How can I say that? Oh, y'all know that simple scripture that everybody in the world knows. Everybody quoted. John 3:16 say that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." God gave his son. It was divinely provided. His son was provided for our salvation. Praise God. If we look in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Luke, as he writes that, and of course y'all know that after the jailhouse rock, praise God, that the chains fell off of the prisoners' hands and they were all let go. They were all out. And we had a jailer who was getting ready to kill himself. Praise God. And Paul grabbed him and said, "Don't do yourself any harm whatsoever. We're all here. Look, none of us have escaped. Not one of us have gotten out." And when the thing was all said and done, this jailer, looking at the behavior of those folks who have been under the influence of Jesus Christ, asked one simple question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Didn't tell him to go read this. Didn't tell him to go do this. Didn't tell him to go that. The only thing, if you look at, put Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 on that board. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Look what they told him. And it said, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's the only person, praise God, that could have saved them.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT FM. Broadcasting on the cutting edge of technology. You can't stop, can't stop, can't stop, can't stop listening.
Welcome. You are tuned into the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast, where we will take you in an in-depth look at the Word of God. Let's tune in as Evangelist Wanda Bell takes you further into the Word of God.
We were talking about how we're not to despise one another. We were in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4, and Paul is talking, and he says that every one of you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor.